Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 678. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is peering out the window in here. He's checking it out. The sun is out. It's 9 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, like right before I end up posting it. I'm trying to hurry this one up because I had no time. I was working 6 days a week. And Muffin Man came over yesterday after I got off work, and we went and played some pool over at the Tipsy Keg, and I got a Hog Jaws pizza. Ooh, got my lips around a Hog Jaws pizza. It was pretty good. A bit too sweet. Muffin Man had the pot roast. I had the Hog Jaws. His pot roast looked really good. I felt like I made a mistake there in getting the Hog Jaws. Really, really good tasting. Really, but it was very sweet and very sticky, as my hands were covered in just stickiness. You know, it was like they had a crazy bait sesh where I shot several loads and just, you know, okay, maybe not quite like that, but it was very. I had this, it had sweet barbecue sauce instead of, you know, pizza sauce on it. And it was very sticky. Very sticky. Again, sticky. Sticky icky. No icky. It was just sticky sweet. You know, if you like a sticky sweet barbecue sauce with some ham on it and in pizza form, Hog Jaws, way to go. That pot roast did look amazing. Kind of feel like I missed out by not getting the pot roast. But, yeah, whoever used that pull stick after me was probably like, what the fuck, this thing's all sticky. Was some dude jerking off and then touching the pull stick, the pull cue. But that's their problem. Afterwards, after the Hog Jaws, Muffin Man and myself came back to here, the Slapbox penthouse, and proceeded to watch the latest Jurassic World with Scarlett Johansson. It's a little ScarJo. And, you know, I was not expecting much. And I guess at that point, you know, I was expecting not to really give a fuck about it. With those kind of expectations, I feel like it didn't disappoint. I thought, you know, I enjoy Scarlett Johansson. I think that, you know, she's overall does decent stuff, and thought, you know, it'll be passable. Didn't think it'd be great. It also has Mahershala Ali, but no Chris Pratt, which the first Jurassic World he was in, I enjoyed. After that, meh. But it's Chris Pratt. He's entertaining on screen. He's fucking Star-Lord, you know? I mean, he is Star-Lord. He's not fucking Star-Lord. Although, you know, I guess since I'm sure that he masturbates from time to time, that technically, he's fucking Star-Lord. Yeah, that one was like just in the theater, the latest Jurassic World. And I paid way too much to rent it, because of course you can go on Amazon Prime right now and either rent or buy it. But since it's still relatively new, film. It costs a lot to do so. And it was $20 to rent the damn thing. Ouch. And $30 to buy it, which I was like, what the fuck? Only a $10 difference and I'm already paying out the ass for this. Which I almost bought it, but Offman's like, are you really going to watch this more than once? And the answer was no. And after watching it, the answer was still no. I won't be watching it a second time. I did rent it. Yeah. After conversing about it, like, it's like, oh, and, thankfully, I didn't waste another $10 on it. but the film itself, yeah, it was not great. It's got entertaining moments, I guess. I wasn't even that crazy about the dinosaurs. They do have a kind of funny bit with, I guess, the main baddie dinosaur, which you get glimpses of, but not, you don't get to really fully see in the opening of the film, is the D-Rex. It's not the T-Rex. It's the D-Rex. Got that big old D. Big D energy from the D-Rex. And you get, again, slight little glimpses at the beginning, which there's a funny scene at the beginning. Of course, they've got this state-of-the-art containment unit that they're experimenting on dinosaurs. They're doing like mixed breeds, like they're doing like Island of Dr. Moreau sort of mixed breed shit. Not with humans, so I guess it's not really Island of Dr. Moreau, but just mixing breeds of dinosaurs to get super dinosaurs. And they... I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. But it's been out for a little while. and Jurassic Park, or Jurassic World. I mean, I think you know what's going to happen. To be fair, there's not much to spoil. Anyway, the state-of-the-art containment unit where they got this laboratory that they're, again, doing these experiments on these dinosaurs to create mega dinosaurs. And what's better than a T-Rex? A D-Rex. And... in this big containment facility where they are storing the D-Rex, somebody was eating a Snickers like outside the the quarantine area where, you know, you can't have that things. you don't want to contaminate things. Which I wasn't sure where they were going with this, because you see almost like a Forrest Gump, I almost said Forrest Park. I'm a little tired. Forrest Gump situation where, you know, Forrest Gump at the intro, you've got the feather like floating in the air and just going around things. In the beginning of this Jurassic World, there's a Snickers wrapper that is floating around. And it's going inside the containment unit where, you know, you got to wear your decon suits and all that shit. You can't be cross-contaminating shit. And thought, like, was this Snickers? Is that going to, like, breed with a dinosaur? I don't understand. No, what happens is this Snicker wrapper. This is, like, the funniest part about the whole movie. The Snicker wrapper, like, there's this door with an air seal on it. That, you know, I guess helps get out all the germs so that there's no contamination going on. And it sucks up the Snickers wrapper and the door can't close. And this is what, like, it shuts down power somehow. Like, it burns up the power in the door and shuts down, like, power to, like, everything and the fucking all these alarms go off because it sucked up a fucking Snickers wrapper into this door. This massive sucking unit can't handle a Snickers wrapper. And this, you know, causes the whole, they got to, like, shut down this whole laboratory and everything because a fucking Snickers wrapper shut everything down. And because of that, all the dinosaurs, the mutated dinosaurs escape this facility. So the D-Rex gets to roam free, and you get glimpses of the D-Rex at the very beginning, and it looks like they tried to mix T-Rex with the Xenomorph from, of course, Alien, you know, the Alien, the Xenomorphs. The head is very, like, bulbous. It's very Xenomorph-esque. But you wouldn't get a full reveal until, of course, the very end, because that's when the big D-Rex, you get that big D energy, and it's going to come out and be the... Since, you know, of course, the very original Jurassic Park, which is the best film of the whole franchise, is the very original one. Still a very entertaining film. That one... You know, you have the T-Rex at the end of that one, the fight against the T-Rex, and that's, of course, the ending of that. Pretty much every one, there's like a T-Rex or a variant of a T-Rex at the very end. anyway, yeah, the D-Rex is... not like the scariest dinosaur. It's like a... It looks like a carnival sideshow. Like, when you do get to finally see it, too. Yeah, it looks like they tried to kind of mix it with a Xenomorph. And then it's got, like... They solved the arm issue, I guess. Because it still has the tiny T-Rex arms. But it's got big D-Rex arms on the outside of that. You know what I'm saying? Big D arms. And they're more intimidating arms. But yet this thing is slower than shit. It's like slower than normal T-Rexes. And it's there. I was expecting there, of course, they have the bad. He's not really a scientist. He's the company guy, I guess. That it would appear... was, you know, trying to get these samples, because the whole mission of Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali, their team is tasked with going to this island, because most of the dinosaurs, because of course dinosaurs escaped the original island that they were out at, and then populated the world once again. And at this point, most of the dinosaurs are dying off due to climate issues, mainly. It would appear, if I was paying attention enough, I got the impression that it was some sort of issue with climate, global warming, you know, what have you. They're dying off, but there's still, you know, a temperate zone where it appears that the dinosaurs are thriving still. And it's funny, like, they show basically, like, all the countries that America is, you know, all the immigrants that are coming from those countries are being, you know, just horrible shit done to them, thrown into... essentially concentration camps and what have you. All of those countries are the ones where dinosaurs are still thriving, and one would imagine probably not getting along well with the people. But seeing that, I was saying to Muffin Man, I was like, ooh, this is Trump is going to see this and go like, oh, that's how we get rid of the brown people. We just get the dinosaurs back out. Get on that. Anyway, it was just kind of funny. I mean, it is true that is, you know, the warmer climate is where those South, Central America and South America, you know, regions. But yeah, the dinosaurs that they have to go to are on this, you know, island, which, you know, they didn't specify. I guess it's not the original Jurassic Park island. Not where the theme park was. I get it. I think this was a separate island. You didn't see any of the classic vehicles and such of from the original one and stuff, or from like the last Jurassic World movies. But so I presume this is a different island. And yeah, their whole deal is they got to get these samples from these three specific dinosaurs. And they got to get these blood samples. Yeah, I got to clear my throat. Anyway, they get these three samples and these massive dinosaurs because they're curing all these diseases, which I found fishy. I was like, this sounds like bullshit. They're supposed to cure. I don't remember if they specify which diseases, if it's cancer or what. But they're very specific that they got to get these three blood samples. And there's the company guy that is leading the mission, and of course, you know, Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali. That like they just care about the money. But they're bringing on along this scientist that's just, you know, he loves dinosaurs. He's a dinosaur guy, but he's never been out in the field. He's never seen dinosaurs out in their natural habitat. Like he wants. Well, the big thing is, I already saying the company guy. He wants to, you know, he's a big pharma guy basically, and wants to capitalize off this, to make trillions of dollars off these cures for these diseases. And the scientist guy goes, no, we need to give it away for free. That's what we're doing. It's he's very hippie-esque. And anyway, I'm just going to go and give the whole plot to this movie away. But anyway, so those, you know, like what I assumed was going to happen is, like, I thought there was going to be a little bit more story to it than just that. Apparently there wasn't. I thought that they were going to, have a little bit of a turn to find out that, you know, it wasn't about curing diseases, that it had something to do with these fucking experiments they were doing with these dinosaurs, and that they needed that so they could further, you know, create more advanced dinosaurs, you know, which I guess they could do in the next sequel because it's Jurassic fucking Park and Jurassic World. They're gonna probably do another one. At this point, they can't seem to stop doing them. Yeah, they didn't do it in that. There was very Predator-esque moments they stole from, because there's, you know, in the original Predator, they find out they weren't the only team going in there into the jungles where they were sent, and they were brutal. Their other teams were like brutally murdered, as they find like that helicopter in Predator. And there's a scene very much, not very much, but it definitely seemed like they were taking it straight out of Predator. There was a scene where the company guy, the antagonist of the movie, sees a a downed helicopter that's like stuck in a tree, and of course they had a rough time getting to the island, you know, the main team here, the ScarJo's team, and they lose all their weapons, and they don't have any guns going into this, but the company guy, the big pharma dude, sees this helicopter, which it's never confirmed and never talked about after this scene, but there's a helicopter which very much like Predator, was stuck up in a tree just like in Predator, and it would appear that dinosaurs got him instead of a predator, but which I guess they're predators, you know, so it's sort of the same and different. The big pharma dude gets a gun, just a pistol, not like a fucking machine gun, not some special gun to the, you know, massive like elephant gun to take down the D-Rex with or anything like that. Gets a fucking pistol, and that's gonna be the one gun anybody has later in the film. Kind of funny. But it's never talked about. Nobody else sees this team of mercenaries that are dead in this helicopter. Nobody else, just Big Pharma dude. And they'd be like, oh, we weren't the only team. I was waiting for that. You know, that didn't happen. It was just like, oh, no, there's a bunch of fucking dead mercenaries in this fucking helicopter. And he gets one gun. Gets one fucking gun. And it's just like a Colt 45. Well, I don't know that it's Colt. It's like a 45, probably like a Glock or something like that, that nature. It's not like even like, you know, an automatic pistol or anything like that. It's a single fire. It's not a special pistol. It is your standard issue, probably Glock. And I didn't really pay that much attention to the pistol. I can tell you that, yeah, it's probably a 45 of some sort. It wasn't even a Desert Eagle. You would, you know, expect like something that you could fight a dinosaur with to be a larger caliber weapon, you know? But no. Or at least an automatic one that you know, a massive, you know, you just get like a fucking M16 or something, like shit. Not a fucking little pea shooter. That's the route they went. And yeah. And there was like a family that attacked while they were in a sailboat, and they end up getting rescued by Scarlett Johansson's team, and they end up, you know, a part of this gang of people at the end. And it has its moments. There's a part with a normal T-Rex that they have to outrun a T-Rex in a raft, and it gets a little hairy. I guess it's entertaining. That part, I guess, is part of that part is in the trailer. The final fight against the D-Rex is meh. It does destroy the helicopter they're about to get away on. That was kind of cool, you know. The D-Rex's big moment was biting the helicopter. Taking it down. Just taking a bite out of the chopper. And I was expecting there to be a little bit more, maybe, to the story. Again, like, I was expecting some kind of twist at the end to find out they had more nefarious things to do with these samples. And, of course, the big pharma guy, I believe he died. Though I don't remember exactly. I just kind of lost where he was. I think the D-Rex got him. But ScarJo's team and the hippie scientist that believed in all good things, that we should get cures for diseases for free. Which I, you know, in reality, you know, I'd be all for that. Yeah, let's give me some, you know, I don't want to have cancer and die of it. That sounds terrible. And I don't want to get it and then get a treatment that could save my life and then also never be able to afford to do anything the rest of my life because I will be in debt for the rest of my life and not be able to afford housing and whatnot. Anyway, I thought maybe it was going to turn out that he was had some nefarious stuff at the end. But at the end, no. He was just like, he's talking to Scarlett Johansson, which they had some, you know, they seemed to have some chemistry. It was like, will they, won't they fuck? They didn't fuck. But it seems like maybe off screen, they were like, yeah, we're going to fuck. we're going to fuck right in front of the D-Rex. Anyway, we're gonna cuck the D-Rex. Turn him into a cuck. And, yeah, they did not. But, you know, it's a family movie. You can't expect anything too crazy to happen. Like fucking in front of a dinosaur. or that they're going to kill any of the main stars of the film. They made it seem like Mahershala Ali was going to die in the end, of course. Like, you know, he's him and Scarlett Johansson are the two biggest actors in the feature. So neither one of them died. Spoiler alert again. A little late to say that. I guess you can't say spoiler alert after you spoil it. But either way. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It's not great. It's definitely one of the worst of the franchise. It's not the worst. I feel like that was part three to me. I don't know. I was not a fan of that one. Of the original Jurassic Park. Not like Jurassic World, which I guess this is the third. Was it the third or the fourth? Hell, I don't even know, man, at this point. It seems like that might be fourth or fifth Jurassic World. As I really lost count on that. But I have been, of course, you know, I've been watching a few other movies. I mean, I do have the theater set up, although I have been tired as shit from working a lot of overtime in the heat and working a very physical job when it's, you know, 90 plus where you're working inside and you got to wear a lot of clothing and stuff. And yeah, the fact that I'm old as shit means I haven't been doing a whole fuck ton outside of work. But I've managed to get, you know, some. I did watch after Jurassic World, after Muffin Man left. I did watch the opening to The Shining because I did just get a key holder from the, well, it says the Overlook Hotel on it, for the Overlook Hotel being, you know, the hotel from The Shining. And just to clarify, I was watching the Stanley Kubrick The Shining, not the one that Stephen King would later go on to make as a TV movie, because he was not a fan of how much Stanley Kubrick deviated from the book. You know, he had to put out a more book-accurate film. But I got to say that, you know, the Stanley Kubrick film still stands to this day as a very good film. But anyway, that shit looked great on the projector. I thought it looked better than Jurassic World on the projector. Which I would have preferred to just watch The Shining myself, but you know, Muffin Man wanted to check out the new Jurassic World, and so I was like, "All right, well, we'll do it, man. We'll put that shit up on the projector. We'll do that." And didn't try my hand at popcorn again yet, but hopefully next time it turns out better than my first attempt. But The Shining looked really good on the projector. There's that great opening to the film that, you know, it's great watching it and knowing how they did it back then, how it must have cost them a fortune and took some, you know, they had to plan shit out a little bit more. Nowadays, they could reenact that shot for a way cheaper, a very small fraction of what it must have cost them to do it originally. But it still looks great, that opening sequence where, of course, they're driving through the mountains and such to get to the Overlook Hotel. And there is the cameras on a helicopter. And, you know, they're getting those beautiful shots of the mountainsides and stuff. And the VW bug driving and what have you. Which gives me very Ted Bundy vibes with the VW bug. Which, you know, it was a popular car at the time. Which I guess is still somewhat popular. But this is the old bug. And this would have been at the time, I guess, Ted Bundy was still killing women when they were filming this. Anyway, just the music and those shots look just very good on a large screen and look pretty great on there. And I do have the key holder again. I got the key holder from the Overlook Hotel. It's got that wallpaper with the... was it octagons? I'm not sure.
I got a yawn.
Son of a bitch. I've been trying to lay off the Benadryl because I'm thinking I'm having some major side effects. And that shit helps me sleep. So I've had had some, you know, issues, shall we say. Anyway, there's the pattern that's on the wallpaper in the Overlook Hotel. There's the black, red, and orange wallpaper with I guess that's five sides. Is that five sides? Pentagons. But yeah, it's got like I guess the pentagon shapes like all over it. But if you've seen the Shinnin, as they call it in the Simpsons, to avoid copyright. They've got, you know, it's very very unique wallpaper, but. I got the key holder, and it's got that on it, which goes very well with my walls. That red that's in there is just like the red on my walls. And, of course, there's black on the ceiling. So it goes very well, the key holder, I think, looks very appropriate. It is they laser and cut it, it would appear. It's wood pieces that they laser cut and, like, stack together to get that pattern on there. And painted each layer a different color. And then I've been kind of back and forth. I've been mentioning on the show here that I've been back and forth on stuff to do in the kitchen and the dining room, as it looks very bare and basically near the top of where the wall meets the ceiling. It feels like there needs to be something more. You know, I never had shit on there before I painted the walls in those areas. For some reason, when they were like white or off-white, that it didn't seem to bother me. There wasn't anything up there. But now that I've painted everything, and it just feels like there needs to be something to liven it up a little bit, like just add a little bit more something. And I had gotten a RoboCop framed piece because on Etsy I had mentioned before that there's a lot of film cells, a lot of stuff that you can get with actual film cells from 35 millimeter films. I mean, you can get all kinds of movies where they'll frame these film cells and then like have a poster of the movie in the middle, like a small poster, and then you can add a light box to where it has lights up the film cells. And I did just get in one from RoboCop. I had the original RoboCop film, Paul Verhoeven's classic film. And it's got, I don't know, like eight or ten like actual film cells from the movie. And I did get it with a big light on the back. And it's really cool. The problem is, if I put those all over the walls, I'm going to have issues, which I haven't hung that up yet. I hung up the Overlook Hotel key holder on the wall, and that looks decent where it's at. The RoboCop film cells, I have not put on the wall. It's a cool little deal, and the light is insanely bright, and it really lights up those film cells. But I have the issue where it's got a long fucking cord to it, and it's a white cord. I don't know where I'm going to... I want to hide the cord somehow. And if I put those all over the walls and stuff, I'm going to have these cords running all over the place. I don't want that. So, you know, it's been an issue figuring out what exactly to do with that. Though I feel like it needs more. Last night, after watching the intro to The Shining and watching a little bit of that, I'm like, all right. And seeing the Overlook Hotel key holder. And I'd been tossing this idea around for a while, even before watching The Shining again. They have wallpaper on Etsy of the Overlook Hotel, just like it looks like on the key holder. And I'm going to attempt. I haven't gotten it yet. I ordered it again last night. So, should get it in a week or two. I'm going to attempt to run that wallpaper just along the strip at the top of the wall in the kitchen, and then there's a spot in the dining room above the sliding glass door that I thought it would look pretty cool if I just ran like a couple of strips of that. I'm not doing a whole room or anything like that. I didn't paint all those walls just to cover up. completely cover it wallpaper, but I thought it would look cool to just have run a couple of strips. I think those colors go well with the paint that is on the walls and the ceiling, so I think it'll add a cool little effect to it. And honestly, there's the walls are a little rough. I could have done a better job of patching them like above the cabinets in the kitchen there. This may hide that a little bit, or it may, unfortunately, it might, you know, putting wallpaper over it might just make it look even worse. It might stick out more, might have problems with bubbles. I'm not sure. But there's only one way to find out. But I'm pretty excited about that. I did order another thing. It still hasn't shipped yet. Another thing from Etsy. I ordered a restroom sign. That looks like an old school theater. Like it is a 3D printed deal. I think I went with a golden black on that. But I'm going to put that above the restroom. I thought that was a nice little touch. It didn't cost much. Don't know when the fuck I'll get that one. That one seems to be, they seem to be in no rush to ship that to me. I don't know, maybe whoever it is, the shop there that's on vacation or something. These, you know, when you, Etsy, you really don't, it's hard to know, because like there's, a lot of the stores, it's just like one individual that is running things, and you know, they could have a lot of work going through, or what have you. I don't know. I mean, if I was really concerned, I could message them. It would seem that most places are pretty good about messaging you back on Etsy because, you know, people are, I mean, they're making a living off it. I'm all for Etsy. But yeah, it's still coming along, I guess. Like, it still seems like could be a few more things I could do with the downstairs just to put it over the top. I haven't done it. Thankfully, I haven't done anything too crazy yet. I've been pretty good about, I mean, there was I did spend a little bit of money on that key holder plus the RoboCop film cells.
That was
some money, but it was an insane amount. I mean, I've been seeing all kinds of other stuff that I could add downstairs that would be extremely pricey. Like, I did consider they have a bust of Bruce Campbell as Ash in the Evil Dead 2 that you can get off Etsy. That's really fucking cool. That I did not purchase yet. I believe I might have talked about that in a previous episode. But I've held off on that. And I know where I'd put it. But I feel like maybe, you know, that's some stuff to add some flair as well. I could get, you know, just like basically movie props and like replicas to toss around there. Just to add more of a vibe of this is, you know, this is a cinema. And I'm celebrating, you know, the history of movies. I have also, there was... I was watching a series on Netflix. Oh, holy shit. Is this true? This is unrelated, but I just got an alert via Reddit that the Friday 13th game, there's a way to play on the PlayStation. They got the servers up. And there's people actually playing that. Holy shit, I might have to try that. As unfortunately, it does sound like that I had talked on the show a while back about they're possibly doing a sequel to that game. Or just putting that game back out again, sort of. the game that is coming out, like, is unaffiliated with the Friday 13th. I don't remember the details, but I did see that, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't the case, as I did get excited a few weeks back or a month or whatever the fuck it was ago. Back to what I was getting to. There is a series on Netflix, which I found entertaining. Wish it was more of just a completely straight out like scripted show, but it's sort of a documentary, sort of a scripted show, but they have Titans, The Rise of Hollywood, that is currently on Netflix. Which I think it might have been out on something before pre-Netflix. It follows the early days of Hollywood, which, you know, I like, you know, seeing stuff about that. The early days of all that good shit. It's worth a watch. And hearing about you know, the early episodes, you get to hear about Edison, that being Thomas Edison, you know, the inventor of the light bulb and what have you. His basically thugs that ran Hollywood there at the very early days, the trust, as they were called, as they hampered a lot of progress with a lot of the movies in the early days, because they forced people to have to give them a fuck ton of money, a good percentage of their profits, to be able to use their film cameras and basically, you know, they had to pay for all of Edison's copyrights and everything, and all of his patents on all of the tech that was used to make movies. And all these, early pioneers, if you will, of the film industry, about how they had to, that's the big reason why all these film studios moved out to L.A. is to avoid fighting with Edison. And there's just so much interesting stuff that happened with those early days before pre-talkies and even in the talkies when they got sound. It's fun to go back and think about things like before, the films, like movies were, what they are today. And they didn't really have much of a story early on. It was just like when cameras were first invented, you just go back and, they would have like a circus sideshow sort of situation where they'd have a booth set up somewhere, like at a circus or what have you. And then just like, ooh, look in this box and you get to watch a very, very short film. And, there was no sound at all originally. And, it's just very, very interesting stuff. And then hearing about the murders of the early days and the debauchery that was like hand in hand from the get-go with the movie industry. Still to this day, a lot of nefarious things. But I feel like that's going to happen with anything where there's just a fuck ton of money involved. There's going to be scandalous things. There's going to be people living life to the excess, feeling way more important than they are, and getting full of themselves. But anyway, it's worth a watch, and makes me want to go back, and start watching more documentaries about like that particular one that's on Netflix there. Like it's decent. I guess it's a documentary because it's like scripted sort of. Like they have Adolf Zukor, which was one of the early leaders of Paramount. Remember correctly, as that show progressed, like he didn't start Paramount, but then ended up taking over Paramount. And he had the name Adolf before World War II, which used to be a lot more popular of a name. I don't know, for some reason after World War II, very few people named Adolf. Very strange. Although nowadays, I think there's probably more people being named Adolf again, unfortunately. As there's a lot more pro-Hitler people these days. But that being said, I totally digressed of why I was talking about Adolf Zukor. I gotta stop yawning. As I tried to get the mic away while I did that, at least. I could hit the mute button, but that's like way over to my side. And the yawning is... Yeah. anyway. Those early days. Yeah, that is... Oh, the point I was getting was Adolf Zukor is... For whatever reason, they chose his character... Or, which is, a real person that existed. They chose for him to narrate the whole thing. And as so he's talking about it, somehow we know. I don't know if Adolf Zukor left a lot of journals behind or there's just a lot of interviews. I feel like there's a lot of things that are said in there that we don't know about that. We don't know what was actually done and said for these things. They take some liberties. I don't know, maybe there was a lot of footage from these meetings and what have you, but, it's given, of course, he's, like, narrating the thing, and then they, go back. He explains things that were going on, and you get some actual footage from movies of that time period, and then there's some where they reshot that footage. I honestly would prefer just an outright documentary, personally. Just have a narrator that's not playing a character and just, you know, straight on, give me the facts, give me the real footage of all these movies. I don't need these actors. I feel it's like there's an Inception thing going on here. It's like a documentary, but it's, you know, actors playing this thing in a documentary. It's like, just give me the fucking documentary, you know? I would prefer that. But yeah, early Hollywood is very interesting. You get all these people that, you know, came from nothing, from mainly in Eastern Europe, and that found, you know, they basically lived the American dream back when, you know, before we were a fascist nation. they came from nothing, from, you know, various parts of Eastern Europe, and made a fortune off of Hollywood. And it's, you know, at the time, like, that Universal Pictures was started, and Paramount, Warner Brothers, like, there was... Nobody was making money off of movies. It was seen as a novelty thing, and that it was going to be a fad. Like, oh, this video thing will never take off. And it's just funny to look back on that now and to know that a lot of people fought against putting sound in movies. That nobody wants to hear actors talk. Oh, come on. It's so funny to think now, like, of course I want to fucking hear these motherfuckers talk. You're goddamn right. I want to see and hear. Audio is a very important part of the cinematic experience. And yeah, it's I want to go back now and watch stuff on like the Fatty Arbuckle stuff, cuz that they go over that slightly in the series. Which Fatty Arbuckle was a silent film star, and there was, I guess, a party, and a woman ended up dead. I don't really know much of the details on it. I'd heard about it before, so, you know, I probably did hear way more details, but it was years ago. This girl, he may or may not have been fucking. I'm not sure, again, of the details without actually looking it up. And I don't really feel like doing that because it's getting near the end of the show. And I do have to, I'm kind of on a time crunch as I need to get to doing my laundry and grocery shopping and all that fun shit. Anyway. It was... yeah, a young woman ended up dead at this house where Fatty Arbuckle was. Again, may or may not have been fucking her. And he did go to trial over, because it was thought that possibly he murdered her. Which, you know, Hollywood's been known to have a few murders and such in its day. And the Fatty Arbuckle thing, you know, he was a big star at the time. This happened, and then we got to be like, dump him. There was apparently several movies that they had shot with Fatty Arbuckle that, I mean, maybe you can find them now, but were not released because, like, ooh, there's, like, this is a... This is not a good. He possibly murdered this girl. Let's get him out of here. Anyway, he's. I would like to know more about that. As I do love a good, you know, murder mystery, and you know, he was found innocent. He was found innocent, which doesn't mean much, I guess. Doesn't mean he didn't kill her. I mean, you could hear of a person like maybe O.J. Simpson. I'm pretty confident he did murder his ex-wife, you know? Although he was found innocent, famously. But there's, I believe I talked about it fairly recently. Maybe, I don't know if I talked about it on the show or not, but I had recently gone back and looked at some of the stuff about Natalie Wood. Of course, she was, this isn't early Hollywood, but, you know, it was like, it happened like right before I was born or when I was, it was like 80, 81. Maybe while I was in the womb, I'm not sure. Or just gotten out of the womb. When Natalie Wood died with, you know, I guess mysterious. There could have been foul play. Could have been foul play. Of course, she was married to Robert Wagner at the time. And they were partying it up with Christopher Walken, which, you know, I love me some Christopher Walken. Yeah, Natalie, Robert and I were on the boat, you know. But they had, I guess, Natalie Wood and him had just started a film together. And they were out drinking and whatnot on the night on the town, if I remember correctly. And there's, you know, a lot of theories, conspiracy theories, if you will, about what led to her death. It's, you know, believed that perhaps Robert Wagner and Christopher Walken had a thing going on, that they were getting it on, you know. Robert, he was a sexy man, you know. And that Natalie Wood was going to expose that or something. But then there's also, you know, people believe that she was into Christopher Walken and that Robert Wagner was jealous. But they would later go out on their little yacht. And so it was Natalie Wood, Robert Wagner, Christopher Walken, and the boat captain. I don't know his name. You know, she would end up drowning in the water. And the case was reopened, you know, several times. They ruled it an accidental death initially, but, you know, it's possible that, you know, perhaps Robert Wagner, you know, wanted her gone, and that's what happened. But, you know, there's never going to be, I don't think, any concrete evidence to show that. I think the only thing that could possibly happen, like one of these people on their deathbed is going to come out with the true story. But all those left alive, which I believe the boat captain has changed his story through the years. And Christopher Walken, I don't think, has said much at all about it publicly. You know, Robert Wagner is, of course, you know, like, oh yeah, I definitely did not kill my wife. So, so that's one of those things. I doubt there's going to be new evidence just like appearing. It's not like there's a video camera out there. We're going to find this footage of all of a sudden. But you know, that's the kind of, I found that stuff, like, always, you know, pretty interesting. I think that's, you know, the character of Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is, of course, in that movie, they strongly infer that he did kill his wife on a boat. And I'm pretty sure that was a take on Robert Wagner. That was what he was going with Cliff Booth there. Yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting murders and stuff. You get into, or, you know, mysterious deaths, shall we say. There was, of course, the George Reeves that played Superman, the first person to play Superman on film, if I'm not mistaken, which was at the 40s or 50s, whenever the hell that was. He died mysteriously. It sure would appear that he was murdered. They, of course, made a movie about that. I don't know that his death had a whole lot to do with the movie, but Ben Affleck back in this was a while back that they made that film, which I remember being a decent film. I'd had to go back and watch that. I don't really remember much about that film either. It's Reeves. Hollywoodland. Oh yeah, that's what it's called. Adrian Brody's in that too. Which shit, yeah, that movie's old now. 2006. That would explain why I don't remember it so well. it came out 19 years ago. Oh shit, Bob Hoskins. I knew Diane Lane was in it. But the synopsis is: a detective examines the mysterious death of George Reeves, the star of the television series Adventures of Superman from 1952. That's when that aired originally. I remember it being a decent movie. I don't think they ever really come to, I don't remember that they say that there is, you know, a definitive conclusion to that movie. I feel like there wasn't, as just like there was in real life. But I'd have to go back and watch it again. It's been, 19 years since I saw the fucking thing. I guess I shouldn't beat myself up over not remembering it that well. But, you know, I do love some good true crime and, like, the old Hollywood, like, mysteries, that sort of thing. And that's another one. Yeah, I don't think we're going to find out any just, like, no bomb is going to drop from the George Reeves death. That now be like, oh, yeah, he definitely was murdered. I guess that's all I have really to talk about. I feel like maybe there was other things that I was going to bring up on this show. But, I haven't had much sleep and kind of need to get things done. So, off the top of my head, I guess I'm done here. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.